You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
The princess who never... The princess who never smiled. Once upon a time, in a faraway, prosperous kingdom, there lived a beautiful young princess. Her name was Atreya. Princess Atreya was as lovely as a dewdrop in the morning sun. The twinkling stars danced in her bright eyes. Okay, not bad. I've read worse things written about me. Hopefully it doesn't get weird. Her neck was long and elegant, like a swan's. Her inviting mouth was a velvet rosebud made for kissing. Okay, who wrote this? Which kingdom am I in again? Oh, this was Prince Godfrey, wasn't it? Just so you know, I haven't invited him anywhere near my mouth. He smells like melted goat. Okay, where was I? Her raven hair was like spun silk and flowed like a gentle river. Oh, that one's actually kind of nice. Her raven hair was spun like spun silk. Her alluring, luscious bosoms were like plump, succulent. Nope, spoke too soon. Her alluring, luscious bosoms were like plump, succulent cream custard tarts jiggling on a banquet platter, begging to be devoured. Oh, this was definitely written by Prince Godfrey. Oh, get a load of this. Her seductive charms were renowned far and wide. Everyone agreed that Princess Atreia was a celestial vision of beauty and womanhood, created solely for the purpose of delighting and pleasuring men.
Seriously?
Take off your top, princess!
Sir, this is not a top, it is a gown. And do you have any idea how many delicate songbirds had to sew me into this? Okay. Don't get your stockings in a twist. Let me finish. But there was a problem. In spite of her sublime beauty, Princess Atreia never smiled. Ever. Not in her whole life. Not even as a baby. Of course I did. I was a baby, idiot. Fair Atreia came of age. Princes, knights, and noble lords came from far and wide to seek her hand. But all she did was turn up her nose, all rude and snobby-like. The princess was so surly and dour that her wretched mood cast a dark, gloomy spell over the entire kingdom. Crops failed. Livestock starved. People's spirits shattered. Because the ungrateful princess was a cold-hearted brat. That is enough. It is offensive that people actually believe this slander. I'm seriously blamed for the weather. What am I, a witch? Oh, no offence, old witch from the woods. Please don't curse me. You know what? It feels like I'm already cursed. That's why I'm here tonight. I'm setting the record straight. At my 8th birthday party, my father, the king, pulled me away from the unicorn rides, sat me down on a tree stump, and told me something that would change my life forever. An evil sorcerer had turned my mother into a bird and condemned her to circle the skies for all eternity. Apparently, there was some fuss about the sorcerer not being invited to my birthday. He didn't even want to come. Evil sorcerers generally hate children, but he wanted to be invited so he could turn down the invitation and look important to all his sorcerer friends. So he was embarrassed and furious and came to the party disguised as a dancing Pomeranian and... gone. Gone was Mother as I knew her. She spread her wings and flew away. At first, I was upset, because I'd missed seeing my mother turn into a bird. I was 8. That was awesome. But then the whole condemned to circle the skies for all eternity, part sunk in, and I understood that my mother was gone. Before my parents got married, Daddy's idea of fun was waging wars and beheading people. Then my mother came into his world and made the castle a place of joy. Lavish balls, juggling jesters, synchronized swimming mermaids in the magic lake. Having a good time was my mum's thing. Daddy always said that she taught him how to smile. But once she was gone, everything changed. Daddy placed the castle into a state of mourning. No more parties. No more unicorn rides, no more fun. Daddy grew up super old school. In his day, princesses were locked in towers to keep them pristine until they came of age. He didn't know what else to do with me, so guess where I went? Suddenly, Mum's situation didn't seem so bad. At least she got to fly and see the world. But me? I was tragically ensconced in my bedchamber for 10 interminably long years. Maybe you heard my song. It was a huge hit on the princess charts. Anyway, the day finally arrived when I was free. Or so I thought. While I was locked away, Daddy started a lot of expensive wars. So now, we were broke. And it was my royal duty to bag a rich prince. I didn't mind at first. So many parties, and carriage rides, and waltzes, and dashingly dreamy princes. My society debut was at Prince Dirk's annual ball. I have been getting ready for this moment for a decade. My tutors taught me to bat my lashes exquisitely in Raw Maiden 101. I aced my advanced graceful laughing and blushing exams. I knew how to dance, sing, and detect a tiny pea placed underneath 20 mattresses. No one has explained why that last one is useful, but apparently it's a thing. Anyway, I thought I was prepared. Until my cousin Briar warned me about Prince Dirk. Last year, he broke into her castle and tried to make out with her while she was under a wicked fairy spell that put her in a death-like coma. And then my girl Snow told me that Dirk also tried to make out with her when her wicked stepmother put her in a death-like magic coma. I did not leave my tower to waste my precious time on some pervy, inbred Nepo baby. But there was no way I was missing this ball. It's the biggest royal event of the year, attended by every young prince and princess in the known realm. I decided I'd busy myself with all the other princes, but I soon learned something about princes, like Prince Godfrey.
I like your breasts. Do you ride horses?
Then there was Prince Fritz, who kept turning into a frog and hopping into my lap all night. No, I'm not going to kiss you, Fritz. Every prince I met was more tedious and repugnant than the last. I spent most of the night hiding, which is very hard to do when you're wearing a voluminous ball gown. Prince Dirk found me hiding under a table with a cheese plate.
Aha, playing hard to get, are you?
No, I just really like cheese. And I don't want to talk to you.
Ho, ho, you're hilarious.
Am I?
And quite a tough little conquest. I say, do you like my sword? I slayed a dragon with it.
That's horrible. Dragons are endangered.
I know. Want to touch it?
Nope.
You know, Princess, you're almost as beautiful as I. You would look divine on my arm. But there's something horribly wrong with your face. You're not smiling at me. I was appropriately charming. Now you must smile and giggle at my hilarious jokes.
You didn't tell any jokes.
A trifling triviality. Why can't you be more like those damsels over there?
Oh, they're just laughing because you have a lot of money. Right, damsels?
Yes, I guess so.
Well, you certainly have a lot of opinions.
Then he stormed off. I spent so long waiting and wishing and preparing for Prince Charming, I just assumed he'd actually be, you know, charming. No one told me I was supposed to fake having a good time with vulgar princes. So I decided that I would never fake it for anyone. I will smile when I feel like it. But on that fateful night, I bruised the delicate Fabergé ego of Prince Dirk. And so the smear campaign began.
Princess Atreya never smiles. Atreya has resting shrew face.
And the worst part, everyone believed him.
Hear ye, the princess is a humourless wench.
The butcher?
I heard she chops up her suitors and feeds them to the crocodiles in the castle moat.
The baker?
I heard she baked a handsome prince into a pie once, she did.
The candlestick maker?
I heard that a lord told her she'd be prettier if she smiled more.
She set the poor fellow on fire! First of all, the royal crocodiles don't like human flesh. Second, I don't bake. And third, I never set a lord on fire. He was a duke, and he deserved it. Even my fairy godmother turned against me.
Oh, so someone is too good for glass slippers, is she?
It's just that I'm scared to walk in these, and I didn't hear Cinderella complaining. Good day. Wait, come back. Ow. One day, darkness descended upon the kingdom. The skies went black. The harvest shriveled. There wasn't enough food to eat or wood to keep warm. The people revolted. And guess who everyone decided to blame? The royal subjects stormed the castle gates.
Smile!
Stop telling me to smile! I don't control the weather! Daddy wanted to help, in his own way.
There, child. Want me to pour boiling oil on them?
Not this time, Daddy. My father came up with a non-violent plan instead.
A royal tournament! Whichever brave man in attendance makes my little princess smile shall have her hand in marriage.
What?
My child, you have much to learn. Your reputation as a man-hating harpy has certainly not scared off any suitors. Quite the contrary. They're in hot pursuit because men love a challenge. We'll call this tournament Kingdom's Got Laughs. We'll charge an exorbitant entry fee. And the ladies love tournaments, Atreya. That's how I met your mother.
Overnight, the kingdom turned into a massive festival. Who knew so many men wanted to be comedians? On the first night of the tournament, I greeted my suitors one by one outside the castle as they arrived. They all had a stupid gimmick. Like Sir Lucan the Knight, who rode in on a white horse.
I want to be your knight in shining armour, Princess.
Prince Fritz floated up on his giant lily pad.
Well, for the last time, we're not kissing, Fritz.
Prince Dirk rolled up in his self-driving carriage.
It's supposed to do that. It's supposed to do that. Okay, everything's fine.
The tournament was underway. The talent was questionable. Like Bartholomew the Flatulent Baron. Prince Godfrey recited a poem that he wrote himself.
On your steed, you ride with finesse. Your bewitching bosoms I want to caress.
Prince Dirk's comedy set was by far the worst. He punched down. Like, he literally kept punching the jester on top of the head.
Who's funny now, funny man? Oh, come on! That was King's Gold!
Oh, it was the most excruciating night of my life. I needed to talk to my best friend. Magic mirror? Summon Rapunzel? Summoning Rapunzel. Rapunzel has been my mirror pal since I was first locked away. She gives
Surprisingly good advice for someone who's been trapped in a hidden tower since she was a baby. Her only visitors are the old crone who kidnapped her and the occasional marauding prince who wants her to let her hair down for him but won't commit to a long-term rescue. She was brushing her golden locks and singing when I summoned.
Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Oh, Atreya! I just heard that all the suitors in your competition are terribly lame. Tell me everything.
Oh, do you... How do you even know that?
It literally just happened. A little bird told me.
I gave Rapunzel a recap of the night. And again the next terrible night. And the next. The tournament stretched on for weeks. My kingdom became the place to cut your teeth on the jester circuit. The streets were clogged with impressionists and bards handing out flyers for their shows. Daddy was delighted because the tourism was making us rich again. He didn't notice how unhappy I was. Luckily, I could always vent to Rapunzel, who never had anywhere else to be. Oh, tonight was the most abominable night. Oh, Rapunzel. I thought good things would just happen to me when I got out of the tower. But none of my suitors have put in the tiniest scrap of effort into discovering what I might find amusing.
Oh, what is it that you find amusing, Atreya?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, perhaps you're supposed to find out. I don't think you need a suitor for that.
Thanks, Rapunzel.
And thanks for always being here to listen. I literally have nowhere else to go. You know, I've always wondered, why don't you just cut off your hair and make a rope? Then you could climb down the tower yourself.
You don't need a suitor for that. I said goodnight to my long-haired friend, who was suddenly deep in thought. What do I find amusing? Well, what do the common folk do for fun? They get drunk. So, I disguised myself as a stable boy and went to a tavern to mingle with the masses. It was open barred night. I should have known what I'd find there.
Atreya's the princess who never smiles. She slumps on hearts for thousands of miles.
The princess is a haughty shrew. She did not want to get to a heart of stone, the soul of a witch. The princess is insufferable.
Oh my God!
Did it ever occur to any of you wretched spindle pricks that maybe you're just not funny?
Suddenly, everyone in the tavern was rolling on the floor, gripping their bellies with tears in their eyes. I know everyone was laughing at me, but still, I made people smile and laugh. That felt good. For the first time since I left the tower, I felt good. I told Daddy that it was time to call off the tournament. I'd always wanted to be like my mother, but my mum didn't just have fun. She was fun, because she did things that made her happy. I needed to find out what made me happy, and it was never going to be anyone in this competition. Maybe it wasn't another person at all. He was surprisingly cool with it.
Our economy is booming, Atreya. You made us the most prosperous kingdom in all the land. I hope you find something that will make you as delighted as money makes me.
I decided to break the news to my suitors myself the next morning. And the winner is... No one. Thanks for coming, everyone. But there's an open bar.
Free mead for everybody.
Almost everyone was happy with getting shitface as a consolation prize. But Prince Dirk drew his sword.
'Tis as I suspected. This competition was rigged from the start. This means war.
Call me humorless all you want. I want someone who cares about what I like. Then maybe I'll smile. I might even laugh. And I want to be with someone who I can make smile and laugh to. And that person will never be you. But they're out there somewhere. I'll search the world to find them if I have to.
You're not even my type, princess.
That's because your type is unconscious and underage. You know what? I finally smiled. I guess that means I win. Suddenly the clouds parted and the sun came shining down for the first time in months. Everyone poured out of the castle in celebration. And then all the crops sprang back to life in front of our very eyes. Maybe the weather was kind of my fault. My bad. The next day, I set out to see the world and seek my happiness. A little bird told me that Rapunzel climbed out of her tower all by herself. We're meeting up in the next village. And I'm spreading the word. I'm the princess who makes you smile.
You've been listening to Feminist Fairy Tales, an audio drama podcast that reimagines the genre of fairy tales through a feminist lens. This was a special episode highlighting the work of one writer, one narrator, and one designer. This episode was performed by Rebecca Tanwin. Episode script by Carrie Zander. Sound design by Emma Love. Directed by Madeline Regina. Feminist Fairy Tales is produced by Madeline Regina, Van Winkle, Jenny Grinnell, Madeline Dorta, and Emma Love. Theme music composed and produced by Juliana Marin. We'll see you in 2 weeks for the next story in our season. Thank you for joining us in the Forest of Feminist Fairy Tales.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.